My name is Noren, and welcome to PMing with Impact, where we speak with folks in the tech industry. Each episode tackles a different topic on how to navigate product management and maximize your impact as an individual contributor. So I'm a PM at Microsoft, and today I'm joined by the lovely Adam virtually. And Adam is an exceptional PM and a person I'm really lucky to be able to call a friend. Adam, could you maybe share some about yourself and what you do at work and like just introduce yourself?
Sure, absolutely. Well, thanks for having me on, Noren. It's always great to hang out with you, especially in these virtual times. Like you said, my name is Adam. I'm a product manager at Microsoft. I've been at Microsoft now about a decade and a half, worked on a variety of different products over that time, everything from Xbox to Windows Phone to Microsoft Edge, and most recently, Outlook Mobile for iOS and Android, which we work on together, which is awesome. I have been in product management for the majority of my career. I studied computer science in college, and I moved into the product management role, you know, partway through my career. I used to write test code, which is fun. I encourage people to try that. Breaking things is great. But moved into product management, you know, partway through my career, and really found that it was the best place for me, best place for me to be able to leverage my personality and my skills at work.
Thank you so much for sharing a little bit about yourself. So in this first episode, we're going to kick off by talking about core PM skills. And I honestly can't think of a better PM or person to help out with this. Tell me a little bit more how you would describe the PM role.
Absolutely. Well, one of the funky things about PM is what those two letters even mean at different companies around the industry. Could be a product manager, could be a program manager, could be a technical program manager. There's lots of variations. And that's one of the best parts about this kind of role, I think, is because due to its flexibility, it also means that you get to bring the best of what you have to that role to bring folks together. So when I say PM, I think about it kind of in the context of the way we do it today, which is more aligned towards what I think the industry would call product manager. So most of my thinking kind of goes in that direction. But when I think about the PM role and the kind of work that we do, a lot of it at the base level is about moving things forward. Every day as a PM, it's our job to move something forward. Sometimes you move it forward an inch, sometimes a foot, sometimes a mile. But as long as it is moving forward, then you're doing your job at a base level. There's a lot of ways that we achieve that. And one of the big things I think for what we do in that role is it's really about helping others to buy in to what we're trying to do together. It is absolutely a team sport. For us to be able to build or ship or iterate on or improve anything that we do, it takes a whole village, it takes a whole crew to do that together. And our role as the PM on those crews is really to help folks understand that we're here to do this together, bring clarity to a very ambiguous situation, oftentimes with the things that we're building, and more often than not, to help folks buy in to what it is that we're doing so that we can bring it together. Because at the end of the day, nobody on the teams that I'm working with, by and large, reports to me. They don't work for me. They work with me. We're a team together. But it is my job as the PM in that group to help bring clarity and to be the one who's carrying the flag that folks can follow. But no one will follow me if they're not bought into what it is that I'm bringing to the table. So at the end of the day, I really think about it as helping us to move things forward together, bringing buy-in, and finally, driving energy to the things that we do together, because without energy in those, we all go through ups and downs with how much energy we have to bring to the table every day. But it oftentimes is our job to help inject energy so that folks understand and have accountability for the things that they're building, so that together we can actually get to that place that you are crafting, that you are pointing folks towards, that you are trying to be the beacon for people to be able to follow in a world where it's often murky, often foggy, and you know, there needs to be somebody who folks can actually look towards and follow in those, even if, like I said, nobody is working for me at the end of the day.
I love that so much. I love the way that you captured such a squishy, undefined role, and you broke it down into this the breadth of exactly what it is, of like connection and working with people and influencing and leading and also being a team player. That's a really solid definition of the work that it takes as being a product manager. And I kind of want to pivot now to more about you and your strengths as I know being working with you and being on your team, staying in, organized and on top of the constant demands that come as being a PM is really challenging. And you are someone who is exceptionally organized. So what do you use to prioritize and get your tasks done on a day-to-day basis?
It's a great question because it oftentimes I find with folks who are coming into the PM role, especially early in career, whether you're coming from school or you're coming from maybe a more discrete engineering-based role like software engineering or testing, those are ones where the work you do feels very concrete. You've got a list, you can check it off, you can feel great about the work that you got done. And PM just kind of isn't like that. You know, you alluded to that, and I think you're 100% right. Like, it's squishy. And so the way I think about it has evolved over the years as I've been doing this role. I used to be very much a to-do list person. I'm trying to get a very concrete set of things so I could check those off and feel great about that. I still utilize those, but I've tried to evolve my thinking more towards the framework around urgency versus priority. Because as a PM, urgency is always going to be something that you feel, especially as you get deeper into working on projects with more and more people or projects with more visibility inside the organization where you're working. You're going to feel more urgency from people around you and above you in the organization. But urgency and priority are different things. Sometimes something is both urgent and a priority, which can help bump it to the top of that list. Sometimes something is urgent but not a priority, which leads me to kind of my next piece here, which is about setting expectations. One of the ways that I use to help myself prioritize things is to really be as clear as I can with people, especially people that are waiting on things from me, have dependencies on me. I've built relationships where they're working with me as their point of contact, to really set expectations with them about where I am, what I'm doing, and when they can expect to hear from me. Because I can't change how urgent someone else feels something is, but I can set expectations with them about how urgent it is to me and the other things that I have to do. So that really helps me to be able to stay on, you know, and prioritize what I'm doing too. The last piece that I would note in this category is really also about, there is a constant reprioritization we're always doing. I think everybody does this, you know, and some people come in the morning, are very mentally centered, reorganize their to-do list, and they know exactly what they're doing that day. For me, my current role, a lot of what I'm doing is working on relationships and relationship building. So I'm pretty often scheduled a lot during the day. So for me, a lot of it is coming in the morning, looking at my calendar, understanding who I'm talking with, why am I talking to them, what am I trying to achieve from those discussions, and really being centered about what I want to achieve with all the people I'm going to be talking to during the day. That often flips by midday and there's something else that comes up. That happens, and we have to be real with ourselves about that. But at the end of the day, I think about it in terms of trying to be centered when I start every day on what do I expect I'm doing today? What would I like to achieve? And then at the end of the day, reflecting back, you know, a bit on, okay, what did I actually do? What did I achieve during the day? And which things have to get pushed forward, because we're never going to get everything done in one day. But understanding what I got done is something that's really helpful, because I also experienced this too. Hopefully this is not too much of a tangent, but I also experienced this too when I first jumped into this role, around having a harder time really truly crystallizing what it is that I was getting done every day as a PM. I was always like, I worked so hard, but what did I do? And that can be really hard, I think, for folks when they come into this role, to be able to truly put down onto paper, what is it that I did? And so I've worked with some folks, you know, who use a strategy of journaling, is one that I know works for a lot of folks. I did this for a while, and I found that it did help me to be able to really, really just at the end of the day, write down, here's some of the people I talked with. Here's some of the things that I did myself. Here's some of the things that I moved forward. Really to be able to understand, yes, all those hours that I put in during the day, the reason I'm feeling exhausted is because all this did happen.
That's so insightful. And I love so much how you're talking about this concept of like urgency and prioritizing. And it's so, like you said, it's so easy to get caught up early on in that list of like, I have this to-do list, I checked off 10 things, but really thinking about what's making the most impact. What does your organization need? What do your teams need? Doing these things first. And I just love what you ended with about like giving yourself grace. Like, you're not going to get everything done that you need to get done. Absolutely not. But also writing down those successes and wins. You helped someone out today, and that makes you feel good. And also you have that later on to showcase for your work. You know, that's great. So I'm curious, do you use any sort of tools today to, you know, chart and go through everything you need to get done?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's One of the things that I found is very interesting when you think about the tooling that we have to use as a PM is kind of our currency is communication. It's documentation, it's communication, it's driving clarity through any means necessary. And so, you know, I've often thought about this in a way of you can sometimes document yourself into a place where you can help yourself drive clarity, not just for the team, but for yourself by the documentation that you build. Our team tends to use issues in GitHub as a way to be able to document both specs as well as the ongoing documentation of a feature. When I've been working on features in that particular mode, one of the ways that I like to do that is to actually keep the to-dos together out in public in that GitHub issue for all to see. So not just for me, but for my whole feature crew and everybody, all the partners that are looking at it on the things that need to get done so that it's not just my to-do list that I'm looking at myself or a bunch of sticky notes on my desk, which I'm guilty of doing both of those things. But also that everybody can see these are the things that I'm working towards so that they understand it can help me to be able to reprioritize as well. And then finally, the thing is, I mentioned this briefly before, but I have been and still continue to be a big to-do list person because having things that I can reorder and check off are very helpful for me mentally to feel like I have a framework on the things that I should be doing because getting distracted is just a part of life. Someone's going to ping me. I'm going to get distracted. I'm going to go do something else. And when I recenter myself and I come back to my focus time, I need to be able to go back and refer to these are the things where I'm going to center myself and go do. So I can definitely recommend Microsoft To Do. Let's go with First Party. That's a good one. As well as I love Things, which is a Mac and iOS-based to-do list app that has really helped me to be able to quickly reprioritize and recenter when I have that scheduled focus time in my day.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing and letting us know what tools that you use to stay on top of things. I want to pivot a little bit more and get deeper into the nitty gritty of onboarding as a PM and getting your first product feature that you work on. Prioritization that we just talked about is really a key to being able to differentiate yourself earlier on as a PM and drive greater impact. And it's definitely a core skill and being able to like focus on what the organization around you need. So I'd love to actually hear more about some of the tactical skills like defining scope for a feature or work, removing roadblocks, et cetera, and what these skills are that you found to be the most important and how you effectively apply them.
For sure. Well, it's one of the things that really hits home for me, and I mentioned this before, is, you know, at a base level, again, what are we doing? We're trying to move things forward. We're trying to drive clarity. So when we start building something together, and this is obviously different from product to product, but a lot of the products that I've worked on in my career have I've been very blessed to be able to work on a lot of user-facing products. And so I tend to try to always keep the voice of the user in my mind as I'm starting to break something down and really think about what is it that that person really needs with the product that they're using that we're working on. I truly believe in starting with the kernel of the idea. What is the actual unit of truth that we're trying to deliver to a customer? And then build from there. A good example that I think of is something that our team worked on in the past that I know you have some great familiarity with now that we've been building on, which is really trying to help users to stay focused through the day by bringing them features with Do Not Disturb in the app. An email and calendar app wants to get your attention a lot through the day and usually with the best of intentions, trying to help you to make sure you're on time where you need to be and know when people are trying to reach you, but that can also be really distracting. And so with a feature like that, it's easy to fall into, okay, we're going to build V1. We're going from no Do Not Disturb features to everything you could possibly want to have around keeping you, keeping you focused when you're using the app. Or we could take the approach that our team took a few years ago, which is really around what are the core needs that someone has when they want to go into a mode like Do Not Disturb with an app like Outlook. And that doesn't mean trying to get everything at once. That means really focusing on that MVP up front. And so the crew that was working on that feature did a wonderful job of breaking it down into the core user needs first of I can turn this on, I can turn this off, I understand where I can schedule it. The basics were there up front and getting that out to users as quickly as possible so that we could learn. Because that's the other piece of this too. When I'm thinking about breaking down a feature, for me, as much as I can, I try to break it down to what is the smallest, most concrete unit of truth we can get out to a customer so that we can learn as quickly as possible. Because if we spend too much time noodling, polishing, trying to get something in ourselves, in our own bubble, perfect before we get it out, pardon me, we're going to lose some of the opportunity that we have to really make sure that the next place we iterate is in the right direction, because often we need to pivot based on what we hear from users, based on the feedback we get, based on the telemetry we receive, to really understand, is what we put out for V1 the right thing to build on top of, or do we need to go in a different direction? And we won't know that, or at least we won't know it as soon, if we focus on polishing too much internally. So for me, it's really about getting to the voice of the user and getting that out to them as quickly as possible so that we can learn and iterate. Because if it really is something that takes off, and a feature like Do Not Disturb is a good example where we've continued to build on top of that and we continue to bring more value, but the directions we've gone have been directly informed by the feedback we've gotten from users about the way they've used the things we got out before. So yeah, I really truly believe in starting with an MVP and iterating from there.
Yeah, no, that's so great. And it really, it makes everything that you're describing makes the process so much more agile, iterating on it, getting something out, getting feedback. And I really liked how you talked about in the beginning, really understanding that customer need, because that's something that can easily be missed by trying to design or build something too quickly, that where you're not really understanding the customer's story and not putting yourself in the shoes of the person that you're trying to create for. That is a major reason why a lot of products fail. And I also like how you talked about, you know, you have your crawl phase where you start out that MVP that you get out, get that feedback, and then you keep iterating, walk and run. And it's a longer process, and it keeps changing and growing and always gets better. Yeah, no, thank you so much for sharing. I think these skills that we talked about prioritization and how to begin developing a feature, from scoping it out and to really figuring out what's right, that's super, super valuable and a really great starting point as an early in career PM. And these are things that you, if you can leverage and learn now, you can be so much more impactful in your work. I also want to like talk a little bit actually about something that you have worked on where you felt like it could have gone better when you started out and what you learned from that experience. Because I'm sure you didn't walk out and you were like, I know exactly how to scope everything now and I know how to prioritize. So what are like the common pitfalls that you've seen earlier in career folks fall into?
Yeah. Well, the big one is, I think, wanting to have V1 be the be all and end all of something that folks are putting out. I feel like I have fallen into this trap earlier in my career. I've seen lots of people fall into this trap too, which is sort of this notion that I think a lot of people have, and rightly so, that this might be the only opportunity to do this. And so we've got to do it right. But there's a difference in my mind between doing it right and doing it in a way that can evolve. And that thinking has come with time. Like, don't get me wrong, I didn't walk in the door one day and say like, exactly, I know that like evolving every feature. No, please don't get me wrong. Like, what one of the things I feel like I've learned with this is seeing the difference between not just how much time you put into something before you get it out, but out to customers, I mean, but thinking about how much do we really need to build before we can get something that people actually like out the door and can use and can be productive with? You know, an example of this that I think back on from a few years ago when I was working on our same app was, we're trying to round out all of the calendar modes that we had shipping in our app. And one of the interesting pieces that we ran into was we didn't have a mode for a 7-day week view, and we didn't have a mode for a full month view. Both important views for people. Like, lots of folks need to be able to slice and dice their calendar in lots of different ways to be productive. And these were just ones that hadn't been prioritized, hadn't been built yet. They were important for us to get to, but we just hadn't gotten there yet. So when I got those on my plate, excited to go get them built. And I was relatively new to the team at the time and very excited to just knock these things out of the park. And one of the things that really helped me center this was our strong partnership with our design team. I very much remember sitting down with one of our designers and talking about all of these ideas that I had for what we might do for these. How can we do some things with rotation? What should we do here? And I'll never forget, she basically just drew a month view on a whiteboard and was like, we need to get this first. Let's do this first. And then we'll start talking about all the other ideas. And it snapped me right back into the mode of thinking I needed to be in to do what we actually needed to do for our customers, which was, they're not asking for me to give them all these bells and whistles yet. They're asking for the thing they don't have, which is, please let me see my calendar in a month view on my phone, please. I like Outlook. I would like to see that on my phone. I think that the biggest pitfall I see folks fall into, and this is not just early in career, I think a lot of this just is, when you get excited as a PM about a project, about a feature, about an area, it is easy to fall down the hole of, I need everything to be absolutely sparkling perfect and wrapped up in a perfect package before I can deliver it to a customer. And that's the thing that I think actually keeps us from being able to evolve the things we build for our customers in a way that they really will get the most value out of.
Yeah, no, that's such a great story too about collaboration and being open to receiving that collaboration, because someone else could have just been like, no, you're wrong. We're going to build this month view and it's going to have these 10,000 features and, you know, all these cool things that it does, and really taking a step back and being open to that and receptive to listening to your colleague also, I think is a great call out. Yeah. Thank you so much, Adam, for sharing all those things. When, you know, just close things out, I want to like quickly adjust to a rapid fire. I loved doing that. Your favorite book.
I like to read, but I don't read enough. So I will say up front, the interesting thing I would say is my favorite book, often I have a real recency bias when it comes to things that I read. I tend to think about the thing that I'm reading most recently is the one that actually hits me the hardest. So instead of necessarily favorite, I'll talk about a recent one that I read, which was a book called Ask Iwata. And it was a book about with a series of discussions, interviews, and reminiscences about the former CEO of Nintendo of Japan, Satoru Iwata. But I read that book recently, and I was really reflecting on the ways that Mr. Iwata presented his ideas to the company and really looked for buy-in was something that rings true with me as the way I approach my work. But him as the CEO of a global company was taking a similar approach around really looking for that sort of trusted set of advisors and getting buy-in from people, you know, at all different levels of the company was something that really rang true. So I really enjoyed that book and would recommend it to others if you're looking for a different perspective on leadership coming from somebody who had a very interesting path to ending up running a global company.
Love that. What's the first thing that you did when you woke up this morning?
Oh boy, the very first thing I did when I woke up this morning was I took my dogs for a walk. This is an interesting thing because I've been talking to some folks recently, yourself included, about ways to feel centered when I start the day, when I start the week. And, you know, for as much as it can be difficult sometimes to jump out of bed as early as they would like me to, I find that actually it's really helpful centering activity to just get myself moving, get my blood pumping, and just take a short walk. I put my headphones in, I take them around the neighborhood, and it kind of helps me get my day jump started. So more often than not, that's how I end up starting my day.
Will I be linking your dog's Instagrams to this episode? Yes, I will be. Please follow them. They're lovely. Looking back on your career, what's one thing that you are super glad you took action on and made happen, or the reverse of what, or you could pick one thing that you wish you could have done differently?
That is a good question. A deep one, I think. Honestly, I think if there's one thing that I wish I could have done differently, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. I wish that I would have moved into product management sooner in my career. As I said before, I used to be in, I was writing test code. I loved breaking things. I loved the stuff I was working on. But I knew looking back that I had identified the places where I actually feel like I bring the most value and get the most joy out of my work in watching my peers in PM and working with my peers in PM back then, where had I had more confidence in myself and my abilities at an earlier stage in my career, I would have moved into that and sought opportunities to move into that space sooner. That's something I wish I would have done. And something where, you know, when I get the opportunity to work with people in design and engineering and user research and all the different disciplines that we work with that are interested in the types of things that you and I do, I really try to encourage them to actually seek it out and try it as soon as they can to see if it's something that fits. Because this job is weird. This job is squishy. This job is hard to define, but it can also be extremely satisfying for people who click with it. And, you know, helping people to find that match is also really satisfying as I continue to evolve in my career.
I'm really happy you're here when we got to meet and that transition happened. Okay, I want to end with the last one is, what's the last thing that made you smile at work?
I think it would be this conversation right now. I feel like, before this, the last thing that made me smile was the last time I got to get on a call with more people on my team. The thing that really brings me the most joy in my day is when I get to work with the people on my team, because I am extremely lucky to have a great team of folks around me and that work with me every day. And when I get to get on a call with, you know, last night I was on a call with two people on my team and we were trying to solve a tough challenge. You know, it's late in the day, but the three of us are all still smiling and all still laughing about what we're trying to do together, because, you know, at the end of the day, if we can't all leave as friends, then we're probably not actually building something that would be in any way long lasting. Yeah. And so, yeah, that every time I get a chance to talk to somebody like yourself, that's the thing that ends up leaving me smiling.
Yeah, thank you. And that's so important, you know, connection at work and coworkers were so underrated, I feel like, before COVID. And now we're just starting to realize, we're like, oh no, we need this connection as people. We really do.
We do.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Adam, for this like amazing conversation and for really hopping on this call and walking us through the skills that have set you up for success. I know that I'll be integrating and thinking about some of these muscles that I need to work on at work and seeing how I can incorporate more of what you're saying. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so, so much.
Well, thank you, Nora. I appreciate the opportunity to talk through it. And, you know, I hope that anybody that sees this, just think about the ways that the work you do brings you satisfaction and brings you joy, and find places to really push on those. Everybody that is working in this industry has their own superpowers, and, you know, by, I think, really extending those, you can find more satisfaction, you can find more joy at work, and don't be afraid to look for the places where you can do more of that or to push yourself in that direction. Like I said, that's something I wish I had done sooner, and I really hope other folks can find their zen and find their satisfaction at work too.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, satisfaction, enjoyment, and purpose, happiness, that's what it is. Thank you again. Thank you, Adam. Bye.
Thanks, Nora.
Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening.